All right. The fourth reading of Parshas Vayikra speaks to us in large measure about the shlomim, the peace offering. And the reading opens with a discussion of cattle, which are large animals. And then we move into sheep, the small docile animals. And the last part of Revi speaks about the goats. Chapter 3, we're going to pick it up at verse 12. Ve'im eiz korbane. But if the offering is a goat, ve'hikriv lifnei Hashem, then it will be brought before God. Now, Rashi doesn't point this out, but Ibn Ezra and Ramban do. And it doesn't speak about gender, about a male goat or a female goat. But some korbanos are precise and exact, and some are not. And the question is, why does it use genderless terminology here? So both the Ibn Ezer as well as the Ramban suggest that the point about an A's is it can go either way. It's actually like one of these like gender fluid words. So it doesn't matter if the animal is male or female. There's no specific emphasis here. And Ramban emphasizes very strongly that in Lashon HaKodesh, even though usually there's a tremendous emphasis on the difference between masculine and feminine, even in tense and in language, if you speak Hebrew, you know that there's a feminine way and a masculine way. Nonetheless, here when it comes to A's, so he says this is typical that we use this expression. Anyway, that's the A's story. That points out as to why we don't have an emphasis on what kind of goat it is, but a goat is a goat. And if you bring a goat as an offering, so then you would follow the following procedure. I just want to add to you that the Baal HaTurim suggests that it is a masculine offering. And he says, usually when goats give birth, and I don't know anything about this, I'm not a goat farmer, but apparently there's multiple births usually, and they usually have pairs or sets of masculine and feminine. He says if a goat farmer were to give away an animal as an offering, he give away the masculine animal and retain the feminine animal so that he can continue to increase his flocks. At any rate, should you bring a goat, really and truly of any gender, the Torah says, V'samach hasyadei al reishei. So then, you must lean your hand forcefully on his head, V'shachat ha'isil lefnei ohel moed, and then that goat is slaughtered in front of the tent of meeting, V'zorko b'nei aharon esdamei al mizbeach saviv. And then the children of Aaron will dash the animal's blood around the Mizbeach. Now, around the Mizbeach means that it's on the northwest and southwest corners in such a manner that the blood kind of hits the corner and it divides. So, in the end, all sides of the walls of the Mizbeach have been touched by the blood of the animal. V'hikriv mimenu korbanoi, you bring from it its offering, Isheh laHashem, a fire offering for God. What do you burn? Ah, so here the Torah now gives us the details. When you bring this fire offering, so there are seven parts of the animal that are brought onto the altar, that are burned on the Mizbeach. Es hachelev, the first thing is the fat, which covers the innards. And this is the fat that's on the outside, not the fat that's marbleized inside the meat. Hamachase es hakerev, that covers over the innards. And then all the fat on the innards. So that's two things. So the fat on the innards and then all the fats on the innards. And if you know the anatomy of an animal, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I actually do not know exactly what I'm talking about, but that's that's the part of the animal that has to be burned as a korban. And then the Torah goes on to say, v'eshtei hakloyes, and the two kidneys, along with v'eshachelev, the fat asher alein, that's upon them. Asher al haksolim, and the fat, this is number five, which is on the walls or on the flanks of the animal. Veseyeseres al hakoved, you must also remove the diaphragm along with the kidneys. Al hakloyes yesireno, you have to remove that, and that includes also the portion of the liver. The kovid is the liver. So there you got it. Seven different parts of the animal which are removed, and they are burnt upon the altar. Now these are called chelev in Hebrew, which is fat, and chelev is prohibited for us to consume. Not allowed to eat chelev, ever. The part of the animal whose fat we are allowed to eat is called shuman. Shuman is permissible, chelev is not. The basic difference is that shuman is marbleized in between the meat itself. Chalev sits on the outside of the meat. It's like in these little membrane, little Ziploc bags of meat that you can actually peel off. So that chalev, which is separate from the meat itself, that is never allowed to be eaten. Why can't it be eaten? Well, the reason is because it is brought on the Mizbeach. As we read, going forward, v'hiktirom, verse 16, these will be burnt. Hakoyen ha-mizbecha, the Kohen will bring all of these things onto the Mizbeach. It's a fire offering before God. And here, Isha L'Reach Nechayach, a fire offering that brings a pleasing aroma, so to speak. Kol Chelev LaHashem. All of the fat that has to be brought upon the altar. All the fat belongs to God. That's the expression. Now, fat's got a bad rap these days, and people think of fat in a negative way, but think of cream of the crop. The fattiest, the best, the finest, not emaciated and withered, but rather the best and the finest. And the message to us is all chelev goes to Hashem. Now, the Torah's Kohen says something very interesting. After having told us this statement, which is a statement that's never been made before anywhere in the Parshas HaKorbanos. In other words, we spoke about all kinds of offerings. We detailed that which is burnt on the altar. We never made a statement like kol chelev laHashem. This is almost like a roundup statement on everything that's been said till now. All of the chelev goes to Hashem. And the Torah now interrupts Parshas HaKorbanos with a broad statement. Chukas oylem l'derisechem. This is an eternal statute for your generations. This rule is going to apply for posterity. B'chol meshveseichem, anywhere you might live. What's that? We don't bring offerings anywhere we might live, and we don't bring offerings that are based on Mikdash. What are we talking about here? And the answer is, kol chelev, all of the fat, v'chol dom, and all of the blood, lo yisechelu, you may not eat. So what is the Torah saying here? What might I have thought without verse 17, and how did verse 17 change my perception? So the Torah's Kohenim explains the following. He says the reason that we're not allowed to eat the fatty part of the animal is because it is supposed to be brought as a korban, as an offering. Now, the animals that are brought as offerings, as a rule are, it's an absolute rule actually, with no exceptions, are cows, sheep, and goat. There are other kosher animals, but they're known as chaya. They're known as undomesticated, or wild animals. So deer, gazelle, these are kosher animals. But they can't be brought as a korban. So you're allowed to eat the chalev of a deer, or of a gazelle, or an animal like that. There's no problem. So chalev chaya is permissible, chalev behema is proscribed. Why? And the answer is, because that which is designated for the mizbeach may not be eaten by us. So since the blood is dashed on the Mizbeach, and since the Chalev is brought on the Mizbeach, therefore, we are not allowed to eat the Chalev. So you might say, okay, as long as there's a Beis HaMikdash functioning, as long as Korbanot are being brought, I understand why you can't eat the Chalev. Because that's called Chalev LaHashem. That portion of the animal goes to God. Yeah, but this animal's not a sacrifice, not a Korban. I know it's not an offering, but nonetheless, all Chalev, Kol Chalev LaHashem. However, in the event that there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, or I'm living in Canada, I'm so far away from Eretz Yisrael, geographically, there's an enormous distance, no animals are brought from Canada as an offering, as a korban. So if an animal is slaughtered in Canada, can Canadian beef also have the same limitations? Why would it? What's wrong with having the chalev of Canadian beef? And the answer is, kol chalev lahavaya. That we must know that all chalev, that's the fatty part of the animal, is always designated for God. That's not for us. It is a chok, that's true. But here the point is furthermore, it's a chukas oilam. It's an eternal statute, which means this eternal rule applies even when korbanot are not being brought, even in a place that's absolutely removed from the concept of korbanot. We would not transport animals to the Beis HaMikdash. No korbanot to be brought from Canadian beef. Doesn't matter. Kol chelev lahavaya. Kol chelev lahavaya goes so far as to say that all meshvei seichem, in every place you live, and the chol deri seichem for all your generations, even though here we are 1950 years after there's been a Beis HaMikdash, and korbanos haven't been brought in nearly 2,000 years, nonetheless, kol chelev leisechelu, you can't eat it. So that's the business of the fatty part of the meat, and the korban, And this is something which has a continued impact on Jewish life and our kosher diet until this very day. And now we're going to delve more deeply into this business of Kol Chelev LaHashem and see what kind of lesson we can learn from this. So on page Lamed, in the Biurei HaChumash, we have an excerpt of the words of the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Isuri Mizbeach. There's a set of halachas in the book of Avodah which speaks about that which is proscribed from Mizbeach, from altar use, things which cannot be brought as a korban. So for example, an animal that's blemished, an animal that was used for an immoral purpose, an animal that was designated for idolatry. Animals like this cannot be brought as a korban before Hashem. And of course, what should we be bringing before Hashem? The finest and the best. And so in the end of those halachas, as the Rambam typically does, he gives us a little bit of ethical teaching along with the halachas. And he says the following, quote, "Haroitze lizakois atzmai, one who seeks to make themselves meritorious. What should you do?" And the answer is, if you seek to make yourself meritorious, yakuf yitzrei hara, then you should restrain your evil inclination. The yavoi karbonai, you should bring your offering min hayofe hameshubach b'yoser, from the finest and the best. People don't like giving things away. People don't like giving the finest and the best away. See, if I'm giving already, I'll give the leftovers. I'll give that which I don't really have much use for. After all, you know, it's just a giveaway. Rambam says that's not a good idea. If you want to restrain your evil inclination, if you want to overcome your natural selfishness, then when you give, you should give of the finest. And he says, v'chein hu oimer, and this is the meaning, important line here. Sheba oise hamin sheyavim mimenu. Whatever you're giving, whatever it might be, you have to give the best of what you're giving. V'chein hu oimer, and similarly, this is the meaning of what is said, and here the Rambam quotes our pasuk, Kol Chelev, all the fattiest, meaning all the finest, the best, La Hashem has to go to God. So the Rebbe says, let's try to understand the words of the Rambam. He says that Kol Chelev La Havaya, all Chelev goes to God. Okay. And he says, therefore, we should choose Hayofa HaMeshubach B'Yeser. We should choose the finest and the best while we're giving it away. But the Rambam says, the finest and the best, Sheba'oto hamin, of that species, of that sort. The Rebbe's question is, there are things which are finer and things which aren't so fine. Not everything is the finest. The Rambam's telling you, when you give the finest of what you give. Why doesn't the Rambam just say, only give the finest? Don't give the things which aren't finest. It should be maybe prohibited to give things which aren't of the finest to begin with. But the Rama doesn't say, don't give things which aren't the finest. He says, when you give, give the finest of what you give. And then, of course, the question is why? And so the Rebbe explains that the mitzvah of Kol Chelev LaHashem forms an expression of a person's realization and awareness of the supremacy and the ownership, if you will, of God over all of creation. As we say in the famous pasuk at the Tehillim in Psalm 24, LaHashem HaAretz, for God is the world and all its fullness. Shabiglala, it's because you recognize God's supremacy. It's because you understand and appreciate and acknowledge that everything belongs to God. That's why you're bringing your carbon to begin with. That's why you're makir of the carbon. And the message here then is, Mikivan shahabriya koileles minim shaynim. Since the creation, God's creation, has many sorts, many kinds, many species, many dimensions, some of which, mehem yofim o mishubachim, some of which are really fine and good material, o mehem pshutim, vigruim, and some of creation, well, it's rather low grade, low class. So the mitzvah of Kol Chelev LaHashem, the mitzvah of giving the finest, is not limited to giving only the best, but rather, it's something that encompasses everything. Regardless of what you give, you always give the best of what you're giving. Even if what you're giving isn't actually the best. Sha'arei ha-hechrich, pardon me, ha-kora b'baylos ha-kodesh baruch hu, your realization and awareness of God's mastery has to express itself b'chol minu min shebebriya, in every sort and every type and every dimension and every grade of creation. Not only do we say that God created the finest and the best. Yeah, I don't know where this comes from. It's not so good. This is left, secondary, leftover, second rate. The good stuff, that comes from God. And the message here is, no. Everything comes from God. And therefore, everything can be a korban. Everything can be a korban. Everything can be a gift to Hashem. But when you bring that gift, make sure you're bringing the best of what you're bringing. The problem with Cain and Abel was that Hevel brought the finest of his sheep. Hevel brought what wasn't the finest of what he possessed. He brought the flax. But here's the point. He didn't bring the finest flax. Not only did he not bring the finest vegetation he had, because he was a farmer, he didn't bring the finest species. So many people make the mistake of thinking that Cain's mistake, Cain's fault, was that he brought the non-finest of vegetation. But that's not really true. You can bring anything as a korban. The problem was he brought the lesser of that species. That was the issue. Because the meaning of kol chelev l'Hashem is that when you give to God, you give the best of what you're giving. The notion of giving to God ultimately represents the idea that we recognize that to God is everything, and everything is Hashem's. If everything is created by Hashem, then everything is worthy of bringing a korban to Hashem, because God doesn't create any junk. So if God doesn't create junk, everything can be brought into tandem. Everything can be harnessed for a holy and a sacred purpose. When you do it, make sure you give the finest and the best of what you're about to give. And now we're going to revisit this Rambam and read it in a more fuller sense and take out and extrapolate another marvelous lesson. So the same Rambam that goes on to speak about give the finest of what you're giving, that you give always the best, Rambam goes on to give numerous examples now. He says, V'hu adin, the same applies, we're continuing on page Lamed Aleph in the next entry, entry 20. L'chol davar shehu l'shem hakel, everything which is being given to the God HaTov who is good. She'yia min hanoa v'hatov, that God who is good should be given the good, the finest and the good. Here are some examples. Imbona beis tefillah, if you build a shul, yonoa mi beis yeshivasei, the shul should be born beautiful than the home in which you live. Heichel ra'av, you fed somebody who's hungry. Don't give him yesterday's leftovers. Ya'achil min ha'toiv v'hamosek shabashochana, give him the finest and the best that's on your table. What if you don't have finest and best in your house? Well, give him what you have. But when you give him, the best of what you have has to be given. Ki sa'arim, you clothe or cover the naked, yichasem min ha'yofa shabachsuseh, then give him the finest clothes you have. Don't give him the leftover torn clothes that you have to get rid of anyway and feel like a big hero. Give him the finest and the best. Hikdish davar, you sanctify, you consecrate something. Yakdish min ha'yofesh ha'benachosav, if you're giving something to Beis HaMikdash, you give of the best, not the simplest. V'chein hu'eimer, and that's the meaning of kochel of Lashem. So the Rebbe says that there's a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Shabbos on page 133. And that the Gemara says something very similar. The Gemara says there's a pasuk which you found in Az Yashir. It says, Ze keli v'anveyu, this is my God, and I will beautify him. And the Gemara says, Hisno lefanav b'mitzvahs. That means, be beautiful before God in your mitzvahs. What does it mean? Asel lefanav sukkah, the sukkah you have should be a beautiful sukkah. Your lulav should be a nice lulav. Your shofar should be a sleek, nice-looking shofar. Tzitzis na, you're wearing a talus. You have tzitzis, nice tzitzis. A sefer Torah should be na, should be a beautiful sefer Torah, and so on and so forth. So the Rebbe's question is, how come in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos we learn this idea from Zekeli Vanveu, this is my God and I will beautify him, that I have to beautify God through observing mitzvahs in a beautiful way, and yet when the Rambam talks about kol chelev l'havaya, when he talks about giving the finest and the best, he does not evoke this verse of Zekeli Vanveu. Ostensibly, this is the idea of beautifying yourself before God by giving the nicest and the most beautiful. So the Rebbe suggests something fascinating. He says these are two separate concepts. On the surface, they look like kindred, but actually they're two separate concepts. And he says The words of the Gemara speak about ha'adam ha'mekayimai, the person who's fulfilling the mitzvah. What's known in jurisprudence in the term gavra, the person. This is about the subject. That is to say, the Gemara bases on zekeli, this is my God, v'anvehu, and I will beautify him or be beautiful before him, means shala adam lehisnoi slefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The subject, the person, you have to beautify. You have to do your best in beautifying what you're about to do when you're serving God. And how do you beautify yourself before God? The answer is, b'cheftze mitzvah no, when you use beautiful objects and material for the performance of mitzvahs. It's no lefun of a mitzvah, be beautiful before God in mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about you, how you behave. The Rambam is not talking about you, but rather he's talking about what's called the chefetz. He's talking about the object. It's not about your behavior as much as the object you give. What is given must be of the best. Kol chelev, all finest things, l'Hashem, have to go to God. In other words, kol chevetz hanimtzer l'reshusach l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, any object which is given over to God, which object should be given? Not which object should I give as much as which object should be given. And I understand this is a subtle difference. You have to, this is like, you know, theoretical science, so to speak, theoretical jurisprudence. But it's about the object, not the subject. It means that which is given, the object that's finest and best, that's worthy of being an offering. The thing that is not the finest and the best of whatever it might be, that's not the one that's earmarked for a sacred and a holy purpose. And so there's really a big difference between the Gemara and between what the Rambam is saying. And you can say, what's the difference? At the end of the day, you're still giving your finest and your best. That's what the Rebbe says. The Gemara's examples are a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful lulav, and a beautiful shofar. The Rambam brings different examples. He doesn't talk about the sukkah, the lulav, or the shofar. Do you know why? Whose sukkah is it?
It's your person's.
It's your sukkah. Yeah. Whose lulav is it? It's your lulav. Whose shofar is it? It's your shofar. You meet a person and say, I have a beautiful shofar. I got it from my grandfather, who got it from his grandfather. It's a family heirloom. It's God's shofar. No, it's my shofar. I do a mitzvah with it, but it's my shofar. And so the point then is, these things are not actually given over to God. These objects aren't given over to God. These are things that I serve God with. However, the Rambam's examples are things that I do give over to God. Bringing an offering, it's not my offering. It's God's offering. Building a shul, I say, that's my shul. Well, it's not really my shul. It's the shul I daven in. It's God's shul. When it comes to giving something away to the poor, to the needy, I gave away my clothes and said, look at my clothing on the poor man's back. No, the poor man's dressed well today. I could take pride. I could feel good that I helped dress the poor man. But it's not my clothes in the poor man's back. It's not my food in the poor man's stomach. I can feel good that the poor man ate well. And the point then is, in the Gemara's view, we speak about things which actually belong to me, but the things that belong to me that I'm using for a godly purpose. What should you use for a godly purpose?
Best.
Use the best. The Rambam is saying when you give it away, which is much harder, by the way. Much harder when you could, it's not mine anymore. I feel good about my beautiful sukkah. It's my sukkah. I feel good about my shofar. It's my shofar. But here, I have nothing. It's not in my possession anymore. I wrote the check. I gave away the cash. The object is no longer mine. And so I don't want to give away the best. I want to keep the best. Let me give away that which is expendable, extra, collapsible. And therefore the Rambam comes, kol chelev. If it's finest, if it's best, that's the one that has to be given to Hashem. And here the emphasis is on the object that's given away rather than the subject who expresses himself in a beautiful and a dedicated manner. We should all merit to serve Hashem in the best way possible. Hashem should accept our offerings and our efforts, and we should be zeicha to the coming of Mashiach and the restoration of the Korbanot b'mheira. Ubi amenu, amen.